Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogon, and I'm talking with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, from triathlon to road riding. And today I'm speaking with enduro racer Martin Mace. Martin is one of the best, if not the best, enduro racers at the moment, and he came into this season fully committed to finally win the overall and become the world champion of enduro racing. And how this corona crisis affects his training and what he's doing with his free time now, you will find out in this episode of Pumped. Yeah, Martin, how is it going at the moment and where are you at the moment?
So I'm currently in Belgium. Obviously, we're not allowed to be outside the country right now. And what I'm doing is I'm still riding because luckily here in Belgium, we are able and lucky enough to be able to go outside. And do sport, exercise, biking, riding, running. Everything is allowed. I know in other countries like France, it's much more limited. So we're still pretty lucky to be going outside and but just obviously waiting till this whole situation comes down and hopefully kills less people than possible, because it's been quite sad to see all of this death through the last few weeks. And it's definitely, you know, very, very sad for the world. And you only realize pretty much that, you know, how lucky you are when there is nothing happening and you are able to work and do whatever you want. But then when something like this happens, it's you realize actually how lucky you are when everything is going okay. Yeah. So it's been quite different. Obviously, you know, the season hasn't started, and been training and riding a lot before the season, as always, I will say, just to get ready, and obviously when comes race day to be as fast as possible. But this time it's a little bit different, and
it's real, right?
We need to accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we are pretty lucky that we are mountain biker and we can go out in the woods and be by our own and still can do the sport which what we love and can go out of the house. So you just told me that Austria or France, they are not able to go out of the house, right? This is way worse than our situation right now.
Yeah, totally. I have a few friends and part of actually my family, because my mom is from France, and I've been actually talking a little bit with them, and you know, explaining that there is much more, you know, police control in the street. And when you look just on TV, you know, the situation in Italy and Spain, like people are really stuck at home and just waiting till this whole thing stop.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it's been, you know, we have here in Belgium pretty rude winter, with a lot of snow and a lot of rain. So it's obviously not enjoyable to go outside. But, you know, just before the lockdown thing started, the sun started shining, and it's been actually beautiful the last 3-4 weeks here in Belgium. So you're just obviously tempted to go outside and ride your bike. You know, it just feels good to ride in a dry and in good condition, but yeah. Unfortunately, there is a coronavirus, which is you know, like I said earlier, it's extremely sad to see all those people dying from the virus. And yeah, I'm just, like I said, praying till this whole thing stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will come to the coronavirus later and how this affects your life. But the first time we both met was in 2014 in the EWS in Navarros de Chillán in Chile. And you were already dominating the junior class, and I was raised to survive the elite class. And since then, a lot is happening or was happening. So you won a couple of EWS races, you won a Downhill World Cup, you got second at the Downhill World Champs, but you are still just 23, right? So it feels like you're around forever. But how did you get started into all this mountain bike business and the racing?
Well, it's obviously a long story. I could talk about it for hours and hours. But basically, it pretty much all started since I was a kid. My dad was a racer, and I've always looked at him. And I truly wanted to do the same as he was doing, which is riding his bike for his job. And this is what I've always dreamed to do, pretty much. So obviously I grew up, I was quite busy with school and with my racing, because I raced all sorts of things. So I raced BMX to cyclocross to road races to dual slalom and four cross downhill in 2012. And we went on holidays in Italy in Sozzo Doux in 2012, and it happened to be the Trophy of the Nation, which you were probably part of. I don't remember, but and I finished fifth overall, and I was only 14 years old. So that's where pretty much it all started. I got picked up by Atherton Racing in 2013, and it was, I've learned so much with Atherton Racing, and having Dan Atherton by my side in 2013, 14, and 15. He was obviously, you know, such a big, massive change from, you know, being a kid of 14 years old riding his bike to being in one of the best team in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, from, you know, training camps with Atherton Racing to anything really, having Alan Milway as a trainer, having, you know, anything that I could wish for was a hell of an experience, and still is a huge experience and a dream. But during those 3 years with Atherton Racing, like I say, I've learned so much being with the best team pretty much out there. And they pretty much gave me everything to start with, and I didn't take it as a present, but more as a challenge in front of me. You know, back in 2013, I couldn't speak any English. You know, I couldn't even play with my suspension because I didn't pay attention to anything back in the days before, you know, being in that team. So yeah, it's been like, that was 3 amazing years where I learned so much. And then Atherton Racing and GT passed away, and I had both options to stay with Atherton Racing, which signed by with Trek in 2016 probably, and I decided to stay with GT because GT is my favorite brand. And my dad used to ride for GT back in the days as well, and I thought it was, you know, probably more important to stay with a brand rather than a team.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my decision, and it was probably the best decision because, you know, now 8 years later, a lot of things happen. Like I say, like you say, sorry, I've got a medal at Daniel World Champ. I won a DH World Cup, which was, you know, for me a goal, an achievable, and a huge dream. And yeah, I won a couple of EWS, a lot of stages, and I feel like I'm in a really good team where, you know, they take really good care of me, and GT Factory Racing is right now a team that really suits me and really give me whatever I need in terms of product, but also, you know, it's such a good vibe being in that team, you know, so never put any pressure on yourself, and that's what suits me a lot.
So 8 years, it's a pretty long time to staying with one brand and one team. So it's, but GT is known for staying with the athletes for a really long time, like with Hans Rey. I think this is more than a relationship since more than 20 years. So it's always been good if you have such a strong relationship with your brand, and then you know all the people there, and it's always cool. So the first time I heard your name was even before you signed with Aderton Racing. A friend of mine, Max Schumann, he's coming from Aachen on the border to Belgium, and he went to a local race. So this was even before EWS. It was so he went to this local race, and he was sure that he will win the race because he was training for Mega Valage and all that stuff. And then he came back and was super disappointed and told me, hey, there was this little guy and he beat me in every stage, and what the hell? So is it really that I get beaten by a little 14 or 15 year old dude from Belgium? Yeah. And so that's you. So it's pretty funny to see how that worked out for you and how much success you had during these 8 years.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I feel like the key of the success still is now is I've never been pushed to ride my bike. My parents always gave me not everything that I wanted, but they gave me the necessary to achieve my goals, and they never pushed me, you know, because obviously my dad was a racer, so he could have pushed me to ride my bike and be a racer, because, you know, that's any dad's dream, I would say. So I really felt like that was the key of the success when I was a kid. Like, he never pushed me, my family never pushed me to do anything. If I wanted to play tennis, I could have played tennis. If I wanted to do some motocross, I could have done some motocross. But I choose myself to be a mountain biker, and that was probably the best decision of my life.
Yeah. So, and now you're one, if not the best rider in the field. And last year you had the perfect start to the season, so you won the first two or even the first three races of the season, and then you had an issue with that you get banned from a couple of races because you had a leg injury and the doctor gave you the wrong medicine, which was on the WADA list. So that ended your dream of winning the overall for last year. And the year before, I think you dislocated your shoulder, where you also lost some really important points. How high were your expectations coming into this year to finally get the overall this year?
Obviously the last 2 years have been tough mentally, because You know, it's not necessarily tough mentally, but I just feel like I've learned so much from, so like you say, in 2018, I dislocated my shoulder and I was in a good position for the overall. And last year it happened, what happened? It was, it was such an unlucky thing for us because, you know, like I say earlier, when you go to the doctor and you have anything, you know, you just trust him and you never look back on your computer, on the internet. If you are allergic to something or anything, you never look back because you just trust the doctor. And this is a mistake that we did last year. And I cut my leg in New Zealand. He gave me some medicine, but I asked him if that was all good because I could have get checked, you know, the 2 weeks after at the EWS. And he said, oh yeah, it's all good. But unfortunately it wasn't. And, you know, once again, I think not only myself, but any racer learned quite a lot over what happened to me and to my case, because I feel like, you know, we don't have the money to have a personal doctor following us at the races like any road team have, you know. So it's anyway, 2019 wasn't good, and you know, I was banned for 3 months, which was not so hard, because actually I've got, you know, so many positive messages from all over the world, from fans to spectators to, you know, even everyone from the industry messaged me and wished me all the best, and that the situation was clear and everything. So that was actually, it felt pretty good. And then, yeah, 2020, I was ready to go racing. And unfortunately, there is the coronavirus happening right now all over the world. So I have no clue what's going to happen the next few months. If we actually going to be able to race this season. But I'm just hoping for the best. I stay fit. I keep training, not probably as much as I used to, but I try to stay very positive. And I also, you know, dedicate the time, the extra time that I have to focus on something else, or spend more time with my family, or, you know, always try to get, I would say, a positive out of the negative.
Yeah.
So that's what I think everyone should be doing.
Yeah, this is always super important. So when did you hear the first time about the coronavirus and what's going on, what was happening? So, and what was your first reaction to it when you heard about it?
Well, obviously, I think that racing comes in last. Health is the priority, obviously. So we all needed to accept it. And obviously, we were all a little bit disappointed and sad about not being able to go out racing. I was actually, you know, 10 days before to take the flight to South America. So it was, we were kind of expecting it anyway, because the virus was spreading. And, you know, these days when you travel to an EWS, you know, it's people from all over the world that comes to the event, maybe 35 or 40 nationalities. So we kind of, you know, expected it at the end.
Yeah. And at the moment, how is the situation at your home in Belgium?
Like we talked about it earlier, you know, we there is, the hospitals are all good. They're not struggling with the people that goes to the health cares. So that's a really positive thing. But, you know, every day people died from it here in Belgium too. So I guess it's a pretty sad situation, but hopefully the virus goes away as quick as possible.
But so all the super important shops and the supermarkets are open, but the rest is also closed, like pretty much like the situation in Germany, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Bike shop, food shop, I mean, restaurant, everything is closed. And, you know, when you take the car to go shopping, grocery shopping, at 8 or 8:30 in the morning, and there is nobody on the road, like, you kind of wonder what the hell is happening in the world.
Yeah,
you know, I've never seen the road so empty.
Yeah,
and you know, like I say, there is always positive in the negative, and this is probably one of the biggest positive. It's, you know, for the planet, for the earth,
for the climate and everything. It's
yeah. It's gonna be. I think it's gonna be, you know, better in the future.
Yeah. So and how does that everything change your training? Because gyms, I think, are closed as well. So how does a training day looks like at the moment for you?
I like I said, I'm not training like hell at the moment. You know, we don't even know if we're gonna have a season, so yeah. I try to stay fit but not sharp, because, you know, there is no reason right now to be sharp. You know, we might be starting the season in August or September, or maybe a little bit earlier, but definitely not before. So we still have a bit of time, and I bought a house early in January, which requires a bit of renovation. So I'm putting actually a bit of effort into the house instead of in my training. And it's been a good experience, and, you know, learning something new. I've never done it before. So it's exciting.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. So you can do something with your time and don't get bored. So
I never get bored. I never get bored.
Do you think that the experience from the last year, where you had to sit out for 3 months while are you 100% fit and healthy, does it help you now that you already know how it feels to be, to be ready for racing, but you can't?
Well, I've experienced it last year, like you say, but at the same time, I think last year I've never trained so much, just because I was extremely frustrated of the situation. So while the other were racing, I was pretty much training like fuck, and I was hurting myself on the road bike just because I was a little bit frustrated of the situation, because I couldn't race. So I was compensating the fact that I couldn't race on my training. So last year I didn't rest that much, and I just wanted to get back extremely strong, and even stronger than where I left. So I didn't take much time off last year, that's for sure.
Okay. And this year, I mean, you have a longer, through the pandemic, you have a longer off season, and since you're racing so long, does it help you a little bit to come down and not traveling so much, and just relaxing a little bit, as you said earlier, to renovate your house and stuff? Does it get you into a better mental shape?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's we have to realize that we all in the same situation right now, and there is nothing that you can do to make that situation better. So you might as well focus on, you know, for myself, it's right now renovating a house, but it could be for other, you know, riding flat pedals instead of clips, or, you know, changing the way you eat, or changing the way you sleep, changing the way you train, and you might notice any difference. So it's, you know, through the last few years, I've learned to experience new stuff. And, you know, you sometimes comes out with very positive or negative, but at least you know what the change do on your body, or on the way you train, or on the way you eat. So you might as well focus on something else and try to do something different to come back stronger.
Yeah. So this pandemic is obviously super terrible, but as you said, you need to take the positive out of it. Is there anything how this situation affects your life in a positive way?
The positive that I get out of this situation right now is the fact that I can focus a little bit more on my house and actually put some effort into the house instead of in my training. But I'm still staying very active and, you know, waking up early, and I never get bored. Like, I have always something to do, you know, and that's also, you know, how life that drive us like this. It's, you know, most of the year we focus on being, you know, the best, eating the best thing you can, sleeping as much as possible, train as much as possible. And, you know, you get into that routine every day is, you know, you might go out and walk the dog, but you're still thinking about, you know, your training, your recovery, the way you eat, the way you do thing. You know, if you're going up some stairs, you might, you know, go fast, or repeat them, or, you know, go down the stairs and go back up just because you think it's going to be good for you, and you're going to benefit from it. So it's pretty much, you know, as a racer or life most of the year. And when you get the chance, like right now, to actually not focus on that sort of things, but on something else, it can only be positive.
Yeah.
For your mind, but also for your body.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I think. What most people don't know, that if you're a racer on your level, you're a racer 24/7. So everything you do is racing. As you already told. Yeah. So you're riding for Red Bull since last year, right? And
yes.
A lot of racers are getting huge support with training and everything around. Does that help you, or helped you the last year with the situation with the ban last year, and also with the Corona stuff right now? Are they supporting you during this time and helping you out?
Yeah, obviously Red Bull's got some amazing resources. Healthcare, training center, psychologist. So they pretty much get you covered whatever you need. But, you know, obviously, as you can't see many people or traveling right now, it's pretty limited. However, they recommend us to, you know, obviously stay active on social media, and like pretty much they recommend us pretty much what I say earlier is, you know, get the positive out of the shitty situation. and they are obviously a dreamy partner, but they require a lot of work too.
Yeah, sure. So to being 100% fit and ready to race, and it's just not happening, how hard is it mentally on you? And do you get any support mental-wise?
I think, you know, it's pretty much what I say earlier. It's, you know, we spend so much time training, traveling, going from airport to airport. You know, the team becomes kind of a family. So this is probably, you know, the hardest right now is not being able to see actually the people that you spend time with. You know, we have such a strong team and with some good people, strong character, and we never get bored of each other. So I think, you know, it is the toughest right now. It's not being able to see the people that you usually see at the races, and obviously the team, because it is part of the family, especially after 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that. So your father is an old World Cup racer. Your brother is super involved into mountain biker and was racing EWS as well. And most people don't expect such a big mountain bike community or a mountain bike family in Belgium. So how does it come that one of the best EWS racers is coming from a country which is not really known for the mountain biking?
Yeah, everyone at home. So I have a small sister, which is 18, and I've got an older brother, which is a super good racer as well. He's a physio. But in the family, my mom rides as well, and my dad obviously is an ex-racer. A lot of people ask me, you know, how do you train in Belgium? How's the riding there? Is it not too flat to ride your enduro bike? I actually live in a place where you can train and ride enduro every day without getting bored. We have so many tracks and so many people motivated here around my house that, you know, dig every day and just super motivated to create new tracks. And we have so many spots around my house where you can actually, you know, the descents are not very long, so they might be between 2 and 4 minutes, but man, we have good quality tracks, and I think that's what matters the most. And also a lot of people been asking me, how do you train for long stages? And it is true that you can't hear in Belgium train for long stages because you don't have tracked over 5 minutes. That's for sure. You don't have track over 5 minutes, but I ride at least once a week my motorbikes. I've got an enduro bike, which, you know, is an amazing tool to have fun, but it's also very, very efficient to train. Mm-hmm. So if I want to ride full gas on the track for 10, 15, 20 minutes, I can do it easily. And you know, it's so tough mentally to ride a motorbike, so mentally and physically. So it's heavier, it's harder. There is, you know, you have to change gears, you have to manage the clutch, the suspension are really hard, and the motorbike is heavy, like I say. So we pretty much have everything here in Belgium to become, you know, one of the best mountain biker right now. We've got everything to train and to become the best.
So the place where I grew up, close to Cologne, we always went to Belgium to race some local downhill races for training when I was younger.
Yeah.
So this is, so you have a pretty strong community in Belgium and a lot of local races, which are not super legal, but they are okay with the racing. So
yeah.
That's why we always came to Belgium.
Namur is probably one of the downhill track that you know.
Yeah.
There was Chaudfontaine as well.
Yeah.
Chaudfontaine is actually 15 minutes from my house. So we've got, like I say, we've got great spot to ride the bike.
You have a special connection with Mark Morrison, your trainer and... one of the first person who saw your potential. You still work with him and GT, but didn't you get a lot of offers from other teams, especially after the Downhill World Cup win and the Downhill World Champs?
Yeah, obviously my contract ended in 2018, and you know I won La Bresse and I was second at World Champs, so I had some, you know, downhill team coming at me and also enduro teams, but like I say, GT is a family, and I truly believe that, you know, staying with a brand for a long time is important for, you know, for myself, but also for them. You know, it gives a good image to the brand, and also, you know, just practical stuff like, you know, Mark Morrison, which is a team manager right now of the GT Factory Racing, but he's also my mechanic. He lives only half an hour away from my house, so we can easily go testing together. We can easily train together. If I get an issue with my bike and the bike need to be swapped over, or I need the part, you know, to keep training, he's only half an hour away, so we can meet up, and he pretty much do whatever I need for me to train as much as possible. So it's so easy to be with that team, and they really, you know, manage to have a strong structure and also some very cool bike, which allows me and allow us all the team to perform. So they pretty much have the perfect package for me. So you know, why would you change out of a structure that gives you everything you need to perform?
And especially with Mark, it's always good to be around with him because he has always a good Belgian beer with him.
Yeah, he is well known to drink beers, but and he also offers beers, especially at the end of the season, when he sees that the crate are still full in the trailer. He's not the last one to give you a beer, yeah. That's for sure.
So he's well known for drinking beer, but he's better known for sharing beer. So that's why we love him.
Yep.
So after World Champs in Lenzerheide, everyone was expecting you to switch from enduro to downhill, because there's more money involved, and it's, I mean, downhill is a Formula One of mountain biking, but you stayed with enduro. So why didn't you make the switch to downhill?
I don't know when I will make and if I will make a switch to downhill one day. My goal is to be EWS World Champ, to win the series, and I don't think I will quit enduro if I don't achieve that. So I first want to achieve, you know, a title in enduro, and then one or two, who knows? But and after, I will maybe make my decision to move up to downhill, or you know, stay in enduro. I don't know yet, but I'm right now really focused to get a title, hopefully as quick as possible, and move up to downhill or not. I'm not sure yet. Yeah, and you know, living also the fact that I live in Belgium, you know, our tracks are good enough for enduro bikes, but there is no point to ride downhill bikes. So I will have, you know, maybe to move up to France or live somewhere else where I can ride my downhill bike. But that would be, you know, a life change. And you know, these days you need to ride a lot your downhill bike to perform at the highest level. And you know, I don't know if that is really what I want and what I need right now. I feel like I'm super happy, and also the way you train in enduro, you train for a long time on your bike, aerobic and anaerobic riding and training. So it is very complete. And also, you know, on the race weekend, you know, you train for two big days, and then you have an extra 2 days of racing. So it's so much time on your bike. And you know, whenever I go to a downhill race, I feel like, you know, I'm not riding my bike at all. First of all, we have the chairlift or the lift up, and then what do? Maybe between 10 and 12 run in practice, and then you have the finals. If you get qualified, obviously, you have the finals on Sunday, and that's another two or three runs. So it is not much riding compared to enduro, that's for sure.
Yeah, so enduro is way more mountain biking than downhill. Because in downhill these days you focus so much more on suspension and all that stuff and these little things, and mm-hmm. in enduro you have to be a really really good rider, and riding as fast as possible, and and these little things doesn't count that much than in downhill. So if you're a better rider, mm-hmm. you will have a better result even if you don't have this little things dialed in. So that's why I love enduro so much, because I'm also so bad with suspension and all that stuff. I just love to ride my bike.
So yeah, it is a different approach. And you know, these days you see like a lot of downhill racer actually focusing, you know, so much on datas and on the way the suspension works. And you know, we do too in enduro. We do focus a lot on suspension, on comfort of the bike, but it's more of a compromise for us, because every single tracks are different. Condition might be totally different from one day to the other. So it is a different way to approach the race. And, you know, last year I raced in Mont-Saint-Anne, and I didn't ride my bike for a few months, my downhill bike for a few months before the race. And I landed there, and, you know, after 45 seconds, I couldn't hold my bike anymore because, you know, my bike wasn't on point. And I realized straight away that, you know, these days on the proper track like Mont-Saint-Anne, you really need to be 100% with your confidence, but more importantly, 100% with your bike and the way you can, you know, change things and adapt the bike for the track. And this is definitely not what I'm used to do anymore. It's a totally different approach.
Yeah. So when this thing is over and we got back to racing as normal, what is the race you're really looking forward to? So what's your favorite track and favorite venue?
Oh, Whistler. Whistler is always one of those races you want to win. So hopefully we go to Whistler in August and the season start again in August, or you know, maybe before, but I don't believe so personally. Whistler and Chile is always an awesome place to ride. I've always got some good results racing in Chile, because they always have those extremely fast tracks that I absolutely love. So I look forward to hopefully go back to Chile at the end of the year instead of in March last month. But who knows what's going to happen. And like I say, racing is not a priority, but the health of the people is most importantly the priority right now.
So, definitely.
We've got to be patient. We've got to be all patient right now. Maybe focus on something else and just wait till we can race our bike safely all over the world.
Yes. So thanks a lot for your time and for all your words. So we wish you all the best for the training and for the season when the season finally starts. And we hope that you finally got the overall. So thanks a lot for your time. And see you soon.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. And it was a pleasure to talk. Thank you.
Definitely. Thanks. Bye-bye.